Children are dismissed to junior church, but God is going to surely visit you, and He has visited us today. And you think about that, what an honor it is that we can enter into the very throne room of grace and just give God praise. But the title of the message today is Leave It Alone, The Lord Will Fight For You. Whatever it is for you. It could be a circumstance, it could be a person, it could be what's happening in your life right now, it could be a sickness, it could be a trial, but leave it alone and the Lord will fight for you. Last week we saw the Israelites leaving Egypt in confidence. It says they were defiant in verse 8. Yet as we come into our passage today, at the first sign of trouble, they saw Pharaoh's army coming over the horizon. They immediately, just like that, who were defiant, going out in confidence, God is leading us out of Egypt, they were screaming in fear. Their eyes immediately turned away from the Lord and resorted to the enemy. In a moment of insanity, they wanted to go back to Egypt and be slaves again, as they reasoned they would die in the wilderness. How do you handle conflict and trouble? When you're trapped between the enemy and a deep sea, and there is nothing humanly possible that you can do, will you choose to panic and fear or try to make things happen? Or will you continue to meddle in the situation and worry or fear or try to make it work out? Or will you still choose to sit still and trust the Lord? You see, we serve the God who has all power over the enemy. And the enemy is going to try to attack you and trip you up and get your eyes off the Lord. And that is the battle that we face that the book of Ephesians talks about. But we have a Savior who's willing to fight the battle for us. We have a Savior who already fought the battle for us and won. The question is whether or not we really believe the Lord is fully capable and ready to fight for us. It's a humbling thought to think that God is going to fight for me. But yet that is the essence of salvation. That it has nothing to do with us and everything to do with what God did for us through Jesus Christ. Now I want to invite you to look in your Bibles, and we're going to look at chapter 14 beginning in verse 10 today. And I want to read on down to verse 20, and then we will break it down. It says, when Pharaoh drew near, chapter 14 of Exodus, verse 10, if you don't have a Bible, there's some in front of you in the chairs. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And that word greatly is just with vehemence. It's extreme. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord, and this was not a cry of trust or faith, but it was a cry of being scared. And they said to Moses, it is because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness. They were being sarcastic. Egypt was full of graves. Lots of room, lots of pyramids. He said, what have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. In other words, they're going to be toast. The Lord will fight for you. Amen. And you have only to be silent. I want to read that verse again. The Lord will fight for you and you have only to be silent. Amen. Another way of putting that more harshly is shut up. The Lord is going to do it. Amen. The Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? He knew it wasn't a cry of faith. Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the heart of the Egyptians so that they shall go in after them. And I will get glory over Pharaoh and all of his hosts, his chariots and his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the angel of God, and anytime the Bible talks about the angel of God and not an angel, it's a reference to a visitation of God through Jesus Christ. It's what we call a theophany in the Bible. It could be angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, or the angel of God, who was going before the host of Israel, moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was the cloud and the darkness, and it lit up the night without one coming near the other all night. Now, I want to begin in verse 10 and talk about vision. Where are you looking? If we are to have this kind of faith, and if we're to trust that the Lord is going to fight the battle for us, we have to have our vision in the right place. Where were they looking? They lifted up their eyes. They were looking at the enemy. So here's some points from this scripture. When Pharaoh drew near, they lifted up their eyes, and the people, and behold. And so they weren't just saying that we saw this, it was behold. Look at the rise and the dust going up in the air. And by the way, these war machines, these chariots, were the top of the line, the best technology they had. It was in the known earth at the time. They were effective in battle. So, you know, if it were today, if we were to look up, it would be like Pharaoh coming with all the fighter jets, the F-14s, the stealth bombers, and the nuclear warheads, and the tanks, all lined up coming. And then Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, they were marching after them, and they feared greatly, and the people of Israel cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, it is because there's no graves. So there's a couple of things. Number one, refuse to look at the enemy. Number two, don't allow fear to guide your life. As people, we're afraid of all kinds of things. But the reason why you're afraid of things is because we lack fear of the great God. If we fear Him, nothing else ever pales in comparison. Three, we have to stop the pity parties. And then also stop blaming others. You see, people, when we're in a position often, and the devil will come and attack you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you can expect spiritual warfare. And when you do, we have a tendency to either attack their spiritual leaders, as they did know Moses in this place. A lot of times in our family homes, it's someone in our family. But when we're going through changes in our life, when we're going through spiritual attack, the tendency to remember in our flesh is to blame others. Moses, you brought us out here to die again. The next part of that, and when it talks about that they were greatly feared and they cried out, and they said to Moses there, leave us alone. What have you done in bringing us to Egypt? Verse 12. Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. In other words, that we might be slaves to the Egyptians and get beaten every day and enforce manual labor to build these pyramids. Moses, if you're not intervened, we could still be doing that. Sounds great, doesn't it? You see, our way out sounds good to us at the moment, but when you stop and analyze it logically, you say, wow, this is wacko. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. Now think about this. Remember what we talked about last week? You had the pillar, the presence of God, the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. God was right there. We're going to die. God's right there. We're going to die. God's right there. We're going to die. And here's the thing, believers. We have the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of us. God is right there. I'm going to die. God's right there. I'm not going to get through this. God's right there in the presence of the Lord. And here's the insanity. We have to have our eyes on Jesus and watch out about taking matters into our own hands. And what is the reason why we want to take matters into our own hands? Why the insanity? Why go back to slavery? The answer is very simple, and probably most of us in here can relate to it. If you're trying to overcome a sin and you have a past sin or a rut in your life that you keep returning to, it could be any number of things. It could be depression. It could be all kinds of stuff. And that rut is well laid in the ground and it's comfortable. But when we get out of that rut, it's kind of a bumpy ride at times. Say, well, God, we don't know what's going to happen next. At least in Egypt, I would get up in the morning and I would go make bricks and I'd get beaten. I knew what was to expect, right? And we laugh and we look at that. Our past ruts were drugs, alcohol, all those things, those friends that lead us down the wrong path. We go back to those old familiar friends because it feels safe. That's what they wanted to do. But watch out for going back to familiar past ruts. They said it would be better. They were not thinking great. They said this is going to be pleasant. It'd be pleasant just to get that next bit of relief from taking that hit or that drug or whatever, or that whatever it is that gets you, that next pie or ice cream or steak. We'll hit everybody in the room. Hamburgers, potato chips, huh? Hot dogs, Doritos with the red dye that's killing our country. We're supposed to be taking it out. It's better. It's better, right? Only for that moment. Only for that moment, and then we feel more miserable than we were when we started. We must get a vision to look to the Lord. Let's turn our eyes away from the enemy, away from what was familiar to us, because God has yet to take you in territory that you've never seen before in your spiritual life. You see, here's the problem. Too many Christians get stuck in quicksand. It's like, well, this, I got a little indentation. It just fits me perfect right in that chair right there. I don't know if I want to go on that mission trip because I've never done anything like that. I don't know if I want to serve in that area in the church because I've never done that before. It's not safe. God's still standing right there. He's before us, He's behind us, He's around us, above us, beneath us, Christ all around us, as St. Patrick said in his prayer. Watch out for faulty thinking, look to the Lord. That's our vision. The Israelites were literally, there's your cat, Kathy, Israelites were literally looking like this. When you face a moment where something goes wrong in your life, look at yourself in the mirror. Force yourself to look at yourself in the mirror. You'll probably end up laughing. Vision. I want to read a scripture. What was the problem here? The David in the Psalms 106 really gives commentary on what was happening right at this point when the Israelites took their eyes off of Jesus and took it toward their eyes towards the enemy. He says, both we and our fathers have sinned and we've committed iniquity. We've done wickedness. Our fathers, when they were in Egypt, did not consider your wondrous works. They did not remember the abundance of your steadfast love, but rebelled by the sea, at the Red Sea. Yet he saved them. Why? For his name's sake. Not for us. For his name's sake. that he might make known his mighty power. He rebuked the Red Sea and it became dry, and he led them through the deep as through a desert. So he saved them from the hand of the foe and redeemed them from the power of the enemy. What was the problem? They stopped thinking about God's wondrous works. They forgot already about the 10 plagues. They forgot already about the cloud and fire. Even though it was there, they could see it. And the abundance of God's steadfast love. Did you doubt God's love? It's like the parable of the sower when we come to fight the enemy. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ or not. Here's the thing. He gives the example, and this is Jesus giving the interpretation, but he says that anyone... Hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what's been sown in this heart. It was sown along the path. And what was sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root but endures for a while. But when tribulation and persecution arises on the account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, and he indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. If you want to bear fruit as a believer, we must keep our eyes firmly fixed on the Lord. The Israelites, some of them, throughout this journey in the wilderness, turned back and they wanted to go back to Egypt because of the spices. That's probably like those that got choked out by the cares of the world or the tribulations that come. Well, it was just easier to just be a slave. Don't let the devil ever lie to you and fool you that it's better being a slave to your sin. Never, ever let him deceive you. And he's constantly at work messing with your mind, your thinking, your thoughts, your words, to try to get you to believe that it was better before Christ. Every day, he's going to whisper in your mind through different means and different circumstances and ways, it was better when you gave in to your sin. It was better before you got involved in all this ministry stuff. It was easier before you stepped out and obeyed the Lord. Don't do it. Have a vision. Secondly, verse 13, Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you've seen today, you shall never see again." I want to ask you today, what is your spiritual posture? What is my spiritual posture? Is it the Lord's going to fight for me? Or is it fear? So he gives three things here that is a strong command. Now, this wasn't a comforting fear not. This was not like, it's okay. It was like God saying, "I'm right here. What are you fearing? You have no reason to fear." Moses shouted that out. He says, "Fear not." It was a strong rebuke. Now think about this. Who led them to this spot between Pharaoh's army and the Red Sea? See if you were last week you were listening. Who led them there? God did. It specifically says in the scriptures, instead of going the easy route, the highway, they would get in the promised land real quick. Because they weren't ready, God took them on this route because he had a lot of things to teach them. First of all, that they are not going to go and fight in their own strength. And so God brought them to this place. And so it's natural for him to say, "Fear not, I brought you here." So is God not responsible for your life? And we have to trust God. And that's where the faith comes in. Because God is responsible for every person's life. It says in the scripture, he who began a good work in you is going to be faithful to complete it. Do you believe that, brothers and sisters? Not every day. Or it's on my doctrinal statement, but when I get caught between a river and a big lake and whatever, and Satan's coming after me. So he says, fear not. Second thing he says is to stand firm. That means to station yourself. Doesn't that sound like Ephesians? Stand firm in the armor of the Lord. It means to continue. I love this quote by Charles Spurgeon. Listen carefully. He says, I dare say you will think it is a very easy thing to stand still, but it is one of the postures which a Christian soldier learns not without years of teaching. I find that marching and quick marching are much easier to God's words than standing still. It is perhaps the first thing we learn in the drill of human armies. Standing at attention, right? It is perhaps the first thing we learn in the drill of human armies, but it is one of the most difficult to learn under the captain of our salvation. The apostle seemed to hint at this difficulty when he said, stand fast, and having done all, still stand. To stand at ease in the midst of tribulation shows a veteran spirit, long experience, and much grace. A veteran spirit, long experience, much grace. And so this is the object of our spiritual growth as Christians, so that we can come to the place where when things hit, we can stand firm. We can stand still. See, an immature believer, and when we have our immature moments, and we always will, even as we mature in our faith, we see Pharaoh's armies coming. We're marching, and we're like, we love this quick marching. No more standing still. I don't want to sit still. I'm ADD. I got to keep going. Which most of us are now in the country because of the foods that they allowed us to have, right, by the way. We have a hard time sitting still and focusing and all that sort of thing because of the diet. That's all the more we need the power of God's grace working in each and every one of our lives. And so we're marching so defiantly like the Israelites. I love this quick march. Yeah, let's go get the enemy. We stir up the music, the loud music, and we're going to charge in. And then we see the enemy coming. It's thousands of chariots. And we're like, duh, 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 duh. And we should turn around and bolt the other direction. But the people that have a God who is present, who is real in their life, they stand firm. Here comes Pharaoh's army. Okay. Here comes that trial. Okay. God must be doing something. Here comes that sickness. Okay, God must be doing something. Some tragedy happened in my life. Okay, God must be doing something. Stand firm. Stand firm. And I love this picture. I love art and found this online, and it adequately depicts what we're doing here. If you are covered by the blood of the Lamb, you are in Jesus Christ, all hell may be breaking loose in your life, but you can stand and rest in the arms of Jesus. This is the kind of stuff of faith that believers have. It is the spiritual posture of a believer to believe in the Lord. And number three, so we look at verse 14, he says, fear not. And then he says, the Lord will fight for you. You have only to be silent. And I want to break those words down to you. First of all, the word fight means to consume or to do battle, to overcome, to prevail. He says, the Lord is the only one that can change our circumstances. He's the only one strong enough to fight. As Bruce was sharing what we talked about on Wednesday night, and David shared about the strong man and pulling the coal truck and all those sorts of things. We see things that are very mighty and powerful. If you go stand in the ocean when the waves are big, you say, oh, I'm going to go out there. It's just water. And then you end up biting it, you know, and drinking a lot of water. But God is much stronger than that. He is strong enough to fight our battles for us. And He commands His people to be still and leave it. Now I want to give you that definition for that word silent. There's a lot of things that come out of that. But to only be silent literally means to let alone. Pharaoh's army is coming. What can I do? What can I do? Oh, no. What can I do? I just don't know what's going to happen. What can I do? Leave it alone. Things are taking place in my family that I can't understand. My children are making choices that I don't agree with or understand, and I know they're on the path of destruction. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. He says, only be still. Hold your position in Jesus Christ, because He is the one that does the battle. Our posture ought to be like the picture here, where we're on our knees, our hand lifted up in surrender to the Most High God, and He will do the fighting for us. Amen. We can obsess and stress over even the salvation of our loved ones, but we pray, we bring it to the Lord, let the Lord do the battle. You know, the more I've tried to meddle to fix things, the worse it got. Imagine that. It's like the more I try to fix something mechanical or working on a building, which you all know about that, the worse it gets. Oh, it's just a little bit crooked. Let's trim a little bit more off. Darn, the board's too short now. I have to find another one. The more we meddle, the worse it gets. There's some other words for silent in that. It is to leave off speaking. To hold our peace. To be quiet, to rest. To keep silent, to hold the tongue. Speak not a word. Don't make a sound. Don't make a move. God, what are you going to do? The Israelites were hysterical. And God says, the Lord is going to fight for you. You just have to be still and surrender. But you also have to obey, because in verse 15, the Lord said to Moses, this is what I'm going to do. Tell the people to go forward. And there is that word again that we talked about last week. In other words, pull up your tent stakes. They were encamped. It was in the middle of the night. And He says, go. What are you talking about, Lord? There's a big, deep sea. And there's chariots coming after us. There are times when God tells us to obey His word, that we have to get up and move with the Lord and follow His sovereign plan. God says, I want you to pull up your tent stakes. I'm going to divide. I'm going to literally rip or break open the sea for you. Wow. I can't even imagine what it looked like. And last of all today, a relationship with Jesus. As we look in those last few verses of the text in verse 19, then the angel of the Lord who was going before the host of Israel moved and went behind him. Remember, the pillar of cloud by day, the fire by night would be in front leading the children of Israel. This time, the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was the cloud and the darkness, and it lit up the night without one coming near the other all night. I don't know what that really looked like. It didn't say the pillar of fire moved, so it was at night. So I'm assuming the pillar of fire was still in front of them, leading and providing light. But then the cloud went behind them, so that Pharaoh's army couldn't get to them. It said, without one touching the other. The Lord Himself, it says the angel of the Lord, moved behind them. And you see, when we come to that moment and we stand firm, the Lord Jesus Christ goes from in front of us and stands behind us to protect us and bring us through that trial or difficulty or that attack from the devil or that attack that we're experiencing in our life. He says, moved. And that is to pull up Again, it's the same word, pull up the tendon. God moves. He says, when you move in faith, God moves. You know, and it says that it lit up the day. I want to remind you, Jesus walks before us in leadership all the time. And He walks with me and He talks with me. He moves behind me to protect me. Jesus said He will be with us, as we talked about last week again. Never leave us or forsake us. Matthew 4 talks about Jesus being the light that lights up our way. Because I want you to know there is another darkness that is between us and death. And that was when our glorious Savior died on the cross and the world grew dark. He bore our sins for us in our place. He stood between the devil, the death. He stood between on the cross and He lighted up our way and He said, I am the light of the world. How can that be? A Savior who in darkness died and bore the sin that we deserve, the punishment that we deserve. And this is the prophecy that talks about Him coming into the land of Capernaum where He began His ministry. He said, the land of Zebulun, this is quoting Isaiah, and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. And 1 Corinthians said, the sting of death is sin and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, my beloved ADD brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. Did you catch that? In the Lord, your labor is not in vain. God has called us to move, but it's in the Lord. So where are you looking? The Lord is going to fight for you. He's going to give you the vision. Where is your spiritual posture? Is it of one of faith? Who are you yielding control to? Are you surrendering to the Lord to fight your battles? Where you're going, the Lord will fight for you. That is our obedience. And who is with you? The Lord will fight for you. I want to close with playing, if I can make this work. I want to play a video of a song, and I would ask that you just really meditate upon this song today as the worship team will come towards the end and lead us in worship.
Amen. If you just stand with us as we just continue to worship.